Wholesalers, welcome to another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. We're brought to you this week by Brotherhood of the Bag, a wholesaler's handbook. Scream on out to Amazon. I believe you'll find it discounted. I know you'll find free shipping. I got a question for you this week. Are you a behaviorally smart wholesaler? What you say, you're not certain what a behaviorally smart wholesaler is? That's okay. That's why Peggy Spilker is with us. Let me tell you a little bit about Peggy. Peggy works for a firm called DNA Behavior International. Now, if you're a client of Wholesaler Masterminds Coaching and you are in our Priority Partner Preferred Coaching Program, you know that I run a DNA behavior assessment on you because I want to know more about what you bring to the equation that accretes to great wholesaler success and what about your personality do we need to understand in order to make you a better wholesaler. Peggy spends all of her time as Vice President, Customer Experience Advisor for DNA Behavior International. And they've been leading this behavioral awareness revolution for 10-plus years and doing so predominantly in the financial services world. And what they do is they help grow predominantly behaviorally smart advisors by matching diverse advisors, clients, and solutions. But the best news about Peggy, candidly, if truth be told, I've known Peggy for a very long time. We actually carried the bag together. She is a former wholesaler. She knows the shoes that you are walking in. Peggy, welcome to Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate you inviting me to be with you today.
It's my pleasure. You know, I keep slipping into the potential to use your former name, so I got to remember that. I even went to my address book and I was looking up your maiden name. I got to stop that. All right. Let's talk about this behaviorally smart wholesaler.
All right.
What does that mean? What does it mean to be behaviorally smart, whether it's advisor, wholesaler, or otherwise? What does that mean?
Well, Rob, what it really means is understanding your strengths, your struggles, and then applying them to everything that you do in your job. I like to think of it as it's more about the why behind what you do. And one of our great philosophies in our firm is that really describes being behaviorally smart is simply just the philosophy, understanding people before numbers.
Understanding people before numbers. You know, we had a conversation recently, wholesalers, with one of our clients. And we were talking about this whole notion of getting to the heart before you're getting to the head, because he was talking about doing business inside of Merrill Lynch, PBIC groups. And then there's still another podcast out there that I'll turn your attention to as we talk about this heart piece. I'm not going to go off on too much of a tangent. But Mark Crowley wrote the book, Lead from the Heart, and we talk about that as well. So it's a little bit of, if not somewhat of what you're talking about here, Peggy, this knowing yourself before you dive into the numbers. Is that right?
Absolutely, Rob.
So in the pre-call, we talked about three things, right? We talked about knowing yourself, how you translate that into your business plan, and then how you use all of that back with your advisors. So let's bite this off. Very big topic. Let's bite it off one element at a time. How do I know myself? Not to get too woo-woo, not to get too zen. What do you mean I have to know myself? I know myself.
We all do. And so I think that at first it comes across as, well, if I've gotten this far in the world, I certainly do know what my strengths and struggles are. But what it does is, and I'll use your service is an example. When a wholesaler comes in with you and then they do through our DNA behavior profiles, what you get is a report, and it right in front of you, easy to understand, easy to see, tells you what your strengths and your challenges are. And I think that the objectivity when you go through profiles, and I've done them all my life throughout different parts of my career in the financial services world, but each one just builds on the next and keeps reinforcing the point. So when you're trying to understand who you are, you really do need some type of a tool that gives the objectivity of what your strengths are. And then when you look at those strengths, you really need to constantly focus in on them, work with the coach, and then apply them into your business plan. Because each one of us is just a unique individual with different strengths, different struggles. And so while we can take ideas that maybe your other wholesalers say, hey, here's an idea I do and here's what I do, what you need to do is take that and then personalize it to your particular strengths.
Okay, so let me make sure I got this straight. So we want to make sure, so the behaviorally smart piece here is not just assuming that we know ourselves, but getting some tools that help us get beneath the opinion that we have of who we are, and then understanding what both the strengths that you talked about, but also what the areas of improvement, what the acknowledged weaknesses are, and then how we use those weaknesses to accrete to our benefit. Am I getting that right?
You are, Robin. Let me give you an example, a real simple one. Well, as a wholesaler, if I ask, or even as advisors, if you ask someone, are you a good listener? Generally speaking, they're going to say, well, yes, absolutely, of course. I mean, that's part of my job, right? Well, when I've done coaching sessions with advisors and their report comes out that they're not such a good listener and they're looking at that, of course, they immediately go there and say, well, I don't get that. And I say, well, let's talk a little bit more about that listening piece. And a lot of times if they're not a good listener, what it ends up being is that they have selective listening. Generally, they're more task-focused and they kind of like to move on pretty quick, and they'll admit, no, you're right, I probably don't sit there because I'm focused on trying to move on to the next piece. I'm probably not that great of a listener, but when it needs to be, I really focus in and listen. So armed with that piece of information, and when they finally, we can kind of talk through it, and you finally come to terms with it, then that's where the power lies, because now it's not saying, oh, that's, I'm bad. It just means, okay, I understand. If I'm with an advisor now, as a wholesaler, if I'm with an advisor and I'm not that great of a listener, I'm going to have to modify my behavior a little bit more, especially with someone that wants to be listened to in every step of the way.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's talk about how I'm going to bring this into my business plan, because I'm having a little bit of a disconnect here. So I understand more now about the me and the who I am and what my strengths are and what my areas of improvement are, but how am I wrapping that up into my business plan? I'm not sure I'm following that.
Okay. So another way to look at this is to take an example. So let's say you are a wholesaler who scores very high in being very driven by relationships. So what you will do is when you're looking at your business plan, you'll say, well, of course, again, most of us are relationship, but you're probably going to be the kind of person that wants to spend more time. Your numbers may not be as high as another wholesaler who is much more task-focused, not as much relationship, not to say they can't develop relationships, but they're much more driven by getting the numbers. So that individual will have probably higher numbers as far as the calls that they make. Yours may be a little bit lower, but yours may be higher quality. So what you've got to do is look at your business plan and say, if I develop good, solid relationships, I may not need the higher numbers as everyone else on the team, and I need to respect that and help my manager understand that I can still deliver the bottom line sales numbers, but I have to operate based on who I am and develop those relationships and allow for a little bit more time for the business to come in, because when I do, it's going to stay on the books. So there's an example of how I would kind of tweak that into a business plan. Other characteristics would be that maybe it shows that you are more of an individual that becomes easily bored and doesn't like repetition. And sometimes wholesaling can be repetitious. You're just going out making calls, and you can look at it that way. So what you need to do is also then adjust your schedule so that you can look at and say, I need to add in a few more advisors to see, because that'll kind of break up my routine a little bit, or, you know, drop by somebody. But you've got to get yourself out of your comfort zone and understand that if you're bored easily, you've got to accommodate your business plan in a positive way so that you can continue to operate who you are. So those are just a couple of examples of how you could take that into your business plan and make it more of you rather than just a standard formulaic business plan.
Okay. Now, the third thing that we talked about was using all of this with the advisor. And I think you gave us a quick example a moment ago when you're talking about listening. But help us understand a little bit more about how we take now this information that we've learned and how are we supposed to be behaviorally smart with advisors.
Well, with advisors, it all comes down to understanding them first and the questions that you ask the advisors. So you can have much more behavioral type of questions when you get to know the advisor in the first appointment. And even if you think you know them, start to queue up some questions like about collaboration. Tell me about how you successfully collaborate with others, with other wholesalers. What is your need for fast action results? How much detail do you need to make decisions? So those types of questions that are more behavioral, get the information that you need about that advisor. Then, armed with that information and knowing who you are, then you need to start accommodating the advisor and perhaps, if you need to change your style a bit to accommodate the advisor and make it a custom experience. So another example of that would be if you're going into an advisor and they do need a lot of research and a lot of detail, and you are not that kind of person, what you're going to have to do is make sure that you're armed with that information and prepare a little bit more than you would with other advisors. But better to know that than to try to sit there and then know that they're going to keep asking detailed questions and you say, I need to check on that. I need to get back to you on that. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying that, but when it's repeated and you don't have all the information, the trust is going to be decreasing very quickly there within the relationship. That advisor is not going to be thinking that you really know your stuff, even if you do. So, again, it's about knowing the advisor, what they need, and then being able to deliver that. Or if your inside sales rep has a style that matches the advisor a little bit, maybe it's better to have them paired up with that individual, and then you accommodate and go see people that are a little bit more like you. It's an easier conversation to have if someone's much more like yourself. So that's how you tailor and create customization. One other point, though, is you can also then, by knowing the advisor more deeply and understanding who they are, you can tailor your presentation about the product to the advisor much more clearly. Someone that's a big picture, lifestyle, fun-loving, may be more interested in the high level of the product and then who else is using it, rather than sitting there listening to the same old story. So you wouldn't need to go there with that person. You just give them high level. And, hey, let me tell you about some other advisors that are using that product. So there's lots of ways that you can tailor your conversation to the advisor to make it much more of a unique experience.
So, wholesalers, you remember that we have 76 great questions to ask advisors on the website. If you're not familiar with that, go to wholesalermasterminds.com in the search box at the top. Just put in 76 great questions. But Peggy has given us a list of, another 20 questions that now become this behaviorally-based direction of investigation, question asking. So I'll post those back with this podcast so you can jump out there and take a look at those questions. Peggy, thank you so much for taking time out, bringing your expertise from DNA Behavior to our audience at Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. We appreciate you being here.
My pleasure, Rob. Thank you.
Wholesalers, join us again next time for another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.